Turn your Bible, if you would, tonight to the book of 2 Samuel in chapter 21. 2 Samuel chapter 21 tonight. This Bible's rich, ain't it? And good to see everybody that's made it out on these Wednesday nights. God will bless you. You already got a victory today. You know what your victory is? You come out to church. You won. And all day long, your flesh and the world and the devil fought you tooth and nail to come to church. And me too. The devil and your flesh and the world don't want you hearing the word of God.
No.
Don't want you hearing the word of God and fight you. So you got a victory today. And you come Sunday, you'll get you another victory. And you'll have at least two victories because you came into the church. And God will help you with that. 2 Samuel chapter 21 tonight. And the Bible says, then, verse 1, but then there was a famine in the days of David 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord. And when we inquire of the Lord, something happens. And the Lord answered, it is for Saul, for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites. And the king called the Gibeonites and said unto them, now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. And the children of Israel had sworn unto them, and Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. Wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, what shall I do for you? Wherewithal shall I make the atonement, look at that word there, atonement, that ye may bless the inheritance of the Lord. And the Gibeonites said unto him, we will have no silver nor gold of Saul, nor of his house, neither for us shalt thou kill any man in Israel. And he said, what ye shall say, that will I do for you. And they answered the king, the man that consumed us and that devised against us that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coast of Israel, let 7 men of his sons be delivered unto us, and we will hang them up unto the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose. And the king said, I will give them. But, verse 7, the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. But the king took the 2 sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, whom she bare unto Saul, Armoni and Mephibosheth. There's another Mephibosheth there. And the 5 sons of Michal, the daughter of Saul, whom she brought up for Adriel, the son of Barzillai, the Maholathite. Michal was a very difficult woman. And he delivered them into the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them in the hill before the Lord. And they fell all 7 together and were put to death in the days of harvest, in the first days, in the beginning of barley harvest. And we look at this chapter, and you can read on down, and I know some of y'all maybe heard me preach or even teach on Rizpah here, how that Rizpah laid out there with them boys, Ricky, hanging rotten on them trees, and she had such a love for them children that she laid there and kept the buzzards and the birds from picking their dead bodies. Could you imagine how the smell was? But she stayed out there night after night, and so much so that it moved the king, that he had their bodies took down and gave them a proper burial. I mean, that's a great picture there of Rizpah and love and swatting the birds off their children there. I wonder how much some of our mothers and daddies really love their children like that. I mean, there was no hope for these boys. They were laying there dead on a tree. And she loved them in such a way that she wanted to keep the flies off of them, and she wanted to keep the animals off of them, Glenn, to keep from destroying their body. And we got moms and dads now's got children, it seems like they turn them over to the buzzards and turn them over to the flies to pick at them all the time when they're alive and there's hope for them. Isn't that sad? But the Bible says in verse 1, and then there was a famine in the days of David 3 years. A famine was a big time problem, Brother Ricky, back in them days. When a famine come, it sort of just shut down the whole world that they lived in, Brother Goble. They didn't have Walmart to go to or IGA or nothing else, man. When a famine come, it shut down the whole land. And people died during a famine. And oftentimes in the Bible, Brother Chester, we see that God used famine so many times as a judgment. So this thing went on for 3 years in judgment. And after 3 years of this famine where people was dying and the nation in such of a bad shape that it is, somebody by the name of David decided to let's go pray and see what the problem is. Isn't that the way we are so many times? It ain't when our life begins to fall apart, brother. It's when everything just trickles on down and we're a big old mess in our life. Then we decide, well, we ought to go to the Lord and see what's going on in our life. Surely you would think, Brother Garrett, after a month, 1 month of rain not happening, Brother Gavin, and a famine began to set in, you'd think they would go out there a month, Goble, and say, hey, God, what's the problem here? Send some rain, but they don't. You think after 2 or 3 months, listen, when the garden began to dry up and people began to cry out and the water holes began to dry up, that somebody would cry out and say, listen, God, what's the problem here? Nope. But it went 3-4 years, and I've seen people, listen, when they start down a bad road and their life begins to spiral out, brother, it seems like they got to go full on out and have a total crash in their life before they get on their knees, Ricky, and say, God, what's happened to me? But the Bible said that David went out and prayed and inquired of the Lord. And the Lord said, David, here's the problem, son. I'm judging your land because what Saul done unto the Gibeonites, it wasn't David's fault. It was Saul's fault. Saul is dead and gone. And you know what we do in our life affects somebody else's life. Saul was gone, but what he done is going to affect his children. It's going to affect his community. I wish we would get a hold of that. That ever how we live, ever how we conduct ourselves, it's just not going to affect us, but it's going to affect your children. It's going to affect your grandchildren. It's going to affect your community all around us. But the devil in the flesh blinds us so much. We think, I'll do my own thing, and they're going to do their own thing, and everything will work out. But listen, it's a principle found all through the Word of God that what you do now, it affects somebody else, either to the good or for the bad. And David said, God, what do I need to do? And God's going to direct him on how to get this thing right. And brother, when we go to God, God will always show us what we need to do to fix things up and to fix things right. When we go to Him with a right heart, a repentant heart, that we're sincere now and we want to make things right. So here's what happened. He said, Saul is a bloody house, and he took out them Gibeonites. What Saul did to them Gibeonites is not found in Scripture. But here's what we know. We know that he killed a bunch of them and didn't do right. And listen, and Joshua had formed a covenant with the Gibeonites. As long as they were in the land, they could stay in the land. And Saul had broke that covenant with the Gibeonites. So David called them in. He said, boys, we're in a famine in the land. And God said, you all been offended. And that's why God's judging this land. What do I need to do now to make things right? Did I give you gold? They said, we don't want your money. Can I give you some land? We don't want your land. Well, what do you need to make this right and to cause this old curse to be lifted off this land? They said, here's what we want. Because Saul had a bloody house, and Saul killed our brothers. We want his sons killed on a tree. We want his sons to fall upon a curse. And David said, what do I need to do to make atonement for this and to make it right? Atonement for something. They said, I want their sons hung on a tree and I want them to die. So the Scripture said that he called Saul's sons up. They were 7 of them there. But one son, he said, that he spared. But the king spared, brother, Mephibosheth, for Jonathan's sake. But what happened before he got spared? Brother, atonement had to be made. And brother, aren't you glad tonight that you and I, the name of Mephibosheth means shameful or disgraceful. And you and I ought to die on a tree. You and I ought to die on our sin. But thank God atonement, Ricky, was made for us. That somebody died in my place. And that somebody is Jesus Christ. For the Bible says this, Ricky, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. We were ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die yet. A peradventure for a good man some would dare die. But God, I love this part. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. For the scripture says this, by whom now we have received the atonement. Thank God, listen, Mephibosheth was spared, but before he was spared, blood had to be shed. Atonement had to be made. And aren't you glad tonight that Jesus Christ shed his blood, brother, and made a way for you and I tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But the king, Brother Ricky, spared Mephibosheth. How did he spare Mephibosheth? Because of an oath that was made with Jonathan.
Yep.
16 years before this, he made an oath, a blood oath, with Jonathan. I believe that David was sitting on his throne, and they said, we want these boys killed. And David knew Mephibosheth was down there alive. And Brother Gerald, I believe David looked over at his wrist. A lot of times in like a blood covenant, they'd cut their wrist and put their wrist together and tie a rope around each other's arm. And Goble, I believe he looked down at his wrist and he seen that scar. And he remembered that covenant that he made with Jonathan, Saul's son. Hey, listen to me. I believe he seen that scar. He said, because of that, I'm going to spare one of them down there. And that one I'm going to spare is Mephibosheth. Boy, listen to me. Up in glory right now is a real man, of a God man. Jesus Christ. And in his hands are wounds. And in his side is a wound. And in his feet is a wound. And when he looks down at them, I'm saved and spared because what Christ did for me and you on the cross. Amen.
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 Yes.
See, Mephibosheth was spared because, Brother Ricky, some atonement was made.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Rizpah has got to go out there with her sons. And, Brother, can you imagine how she's weeping out there with them boys hanging there and she can't take them down? She's just got to sit out there and they're dead. And brother, listen, she's got one. There's one son there named Mephibosheth. He ain't hanging there. Listen to me. She ain't got to anguish over him because atonement was made for him. She ain't got to weep for him and keep the buzzards and the things off of him because, listen, because he was spared by the king. Listen, listen, there's no greater thing that you and I could do, listen, than to see our children saved for the grace of God. You may not be able to leave them a big house. You may not be able to leave them a big bank account. But what you put in them through the gospel, what you put in them through Jesus Christ, boy, it takes away a lot of anguish, don't it? They have to weep over them and keep the flies off of them because they're hid and their life is hid in Christ. The Bible said in Romans 5:12, wherefore, as by one man now sin entered into the world and death by sin. So death passed upon all men. Why is that, Brother Kevin? For that all have sinned. It ain't that a man drinks, it makes him a sinner. It ain't that a man does pills, that makes him a sinner. He does that by his own nature. It ain't that a man's got a filthy mouth, that makes him a sinner. No, we are now born into sin. When that little baby back there was born, it was born with a sin nature. Its little mommy and daddy will never have to teach it how to be selfish. It knows how to be selfish. They'll never have to teach it how to lie. It naturally knows how to lie, for the Bible said, I come forth from the womb, what? Speaking lies, brother. What has to happen? Something supernatural has got to happen to you and I to change our nature into something else, brother. That's what Jesus Christ does when he saves us. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible said, but the king, Brother Randall, spared Mephibosheth. Now, Ricky, Mephibosheth's down there hiding out in Lodabar. He got hurt when he was 5 years old. They came in there killing everybody. He had a little nurse that kept up with him, and she dropped him when he was 5, Brother Glenn, and crippled him. The little fella couldn't walk. He was poor. He was down there. No doubt he thought, listen, I don't want to get nowhere around the king because of what my daddy done and what my granddaddy done. So I'm going to stay down our head. So I'm going to say this, brother. I'm going to say, Brother Goble, that King David was the furthest thing from Mephibosheth's mind. And being at the king's palace was the furthest thing in his mind. But one day Mephibosheth was laying down there in a place called Lodabar. He stayed with somebody named Maker. And all of a sudden they heard off his horses coming down the road. And they said, what in the world's that? Nobody ever comes down to Lodabar, for it means a place of no pasture, of no bread. It was a place of poverty. And here come down the road, brother. They look out there and they said, hey, it's the king's chariot coming down there. No doubt, Garrett, fear struck their mind. And said, they've come down here to take us out. For when the king ascended to the throne, they killed all of his people behind him. So here's what happened. There's a man named Ziba climbed off that chariot, brother, went in Maker's house and said, Mephibosheth, the king is calling you. Amen. Think about this. Randall, you weren't thinking about God. I wasn't thinking about God. God's the furthest thing from my mind. And brother, one day, the chariot of the Holy Ghost came to ride down where I was at.
Amen.
Amen. And began to speak to me. And brother, what was happening to me, I got scared.
Yes.
Fear set upon me, brother. I began to think about my life. I began to think about hell. I began to think about all these things. The last thing on my mind was coming to the king. The last thing on my mind was coming to God. But I'm glad, listen, that we got a God that always comes to us.
Amen.
And even on Mephibosheth, he couldn't even walk to the king. He had no means of getting to the king. But the king called him and brought him to the king. Amen.
Amen.
That's how a person gets saved,
That's
ain't
right.
it?
That's exactly right.
God comes and calls you.
Amen.
Well, I just got down there, Brother Kevin, and everything. No, God called you and saved
right.
you.
Amen.
If you saved, God called you to Him. Amen. He didn't call you to me. He might use me as an instrument, but God will call you to Him where He's at. And he said, I don't know how to get to Him. Well, Ziba said, I got that covered, buddy, and put Him on that chariot and took Him down there and transported Him to where the king's at. I didn't know how to get to the king, brother. I didn't know how to get to God, but God come by where I was at, picked me up, and put me in a place where I could get in touch, where I could get a hold of God. Amen.
Amen.
That's what He does for us.
Yes.
For the Bible said in Romans 6:23, Randall, that the wages of sin is what?
Death.
But the gift of God
is eternal.
Yeah. Life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
I can't get good enough.
Nope.
Mephibosheth couldn't get good enough. He couldn't do enough physical therapy to get his legs good enough to get to the king. He couldn't get enough money to get to the king. Brother, the king came and got him. That's the state of every man, woman, boy, or girl born in this world right now, brother. The wages of sin, or the payday of sin, is death. Sin always brings forth death, don't it? Death to what? Death to your physical life. We're dying right now. As we're born, we're dying. It brings death in all kinds of ways. Sin will break up a home. Sin will get you fired from a job. Sin will get you messed up in your life. Because that's the wages of it. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Bible says here, brother, that the king spared Mephibosheth. Now here's something we don't hear much about. He spared him. He brought him into his house and spared him. He ain't the king's son. He spared him. He's somebody else's son. But the king brought him in. He adopted him, Randall.
Amen.
He adopted him just like he was his own son.
Yes.
That's something we don't ever hear much about, is this doctrine of adoption. When you got saved by God's grace, you got adopted into the family of God. The Bible said, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to good pleasure of His will. Brother Kevin, I don't know why God saved me. I just read it to you. It was according to good pleasure of His will.
Amen.
I don't know what God's seen in me. Nothing. Here's what God's seen in you. Nothing.
Nothing.
Here's what God's seen in me. Nothing. It was according to the good pleasure of his will because he wanted to, because he loves us, that he adopted us as children by Jesus Christ. The Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Amen. He adopted us into the family of God. You see, when you get saved by God's grace, you become born again into the family of God. Not only are we born again, Brother Glenn, it says we're brought into the family of God by adoption. I'm going to go into that in a minute. And God says that because we've been born again and because we've been brought into the family of God, we're part, Brother Goble, of the building of God. He puts us all into work somewhere, don't it? And then he says this in the book of Revelation, because we've been born again, we've been brought in by adoption, brother, we're part of the building of God. He says we're all what? The bride of Jesus Christ. Boy, God wants to nail it down in our hearts, don't he? How much he loves us. But the Bible said, but the king spared Mephibosheth for Jonathan's sake. We're here tonight saved by God's grace, adopted into the family of God because of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not because of the Baptist sign out there.
No.
Not because of the water baptism out there. Not because of taking communion and foot washing. No. All those ought to be done and should be done. Listen, I'm telling you, we've been brought into the family of God by Jesus Christ. And because of that, because we've been adopted in, we got some great assurance about us. Amen. Did you know, listen to this. Adoption really wasn't real popular or even come about in the United States in the 1920s. Do you know that? But for thousands of years in ancient Rome, in Jewish culture, even back in the Old Testament times, they adopted people. They would adopt adults into a family. It was customary to do. And it really didn't start in this country until the 1920s and then picked up in the 1950s and 60s and took on up. There's really not nothing ever been discussed much or studied much in our culture. But for thousands of years, this thing of adoption was done. And you know, there's some things about adoption that's real important. When God says five times in the scripture that we've been adopted into the family of God.
Yeah.
And he's some things, Mom, that God wants to nail down in our hearts, in our minds. Here's what it is. Did you know if you was adopted, you was adopted permanently? You could not be adopted today and unadopted tomorrow.
No.
Once you got adopted, you was adopted. Once you got adopted, they couldn't go before the court and say, we don't want to adopt you anymore. No. Once you were adopted, you were always adopted. But the king spared Mephibosheth for Jonathan's sake. The king took Mephibosheth in, adopted him into his family, and he didn't have to go through the hanging on the tree. He didn't have to go through all that other stuff because he was permanently put in David's family. He was adopted for somebody. It wasn't nothing Mephibosheth done, Garrett. It's because what Jonathan had done and David had done. I've been adopted into the family of God. I've been permanently placed into the family of God. All because what Jesus done for me on the cross.
Amen.
Jesus said this in John 6:37. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. He said, I give unto them eternal life. How long is eternal life?
Forever.
It's there forever, ain't it? And they shall never perish. I'm never going to die. When you hear that Brother Kevin dies, don't believe it. I'm not dead. I'm just gone on this side, but I'm alive somewhere. Amen. You die in Christ, you live forevermore.
Amen.
Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He said, my Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man, he says it again, is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Well, Brother Kevin, I don't know about that. Listen to me. You get saved by God's grace, you can mess up your fellowship with God. If you ever had children, you know what it means. When you and your child get sideways with each other, you're the authority, you're the dad or mom. Brother, you don't got no good fellowship with them. But they're still your child. They're still your son or daughter. And when things get right between them, then that fellowship gets restored. There's been people saved by God's grace. God's nailed it in their heart. But they play around in sin. and don't live like they're supposed to live. And that fellowship, God, gets broken. It's not where it should be. And all the while, Ricky, God's wanting to bring them into fellowship, ain't he? He's wanting to get them when he put his hands on them. But if you got kids and you love them, it hurts you as a parent when you don't have that fellowship. But oh, ain't sweet Goble when they repent and you get that fellowship restored back in them. Brother, when Mephibosheth was took into David's family, he was permanently placed into David's family. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, something else about adoption. The adopted son immediately, once he's adopted, Garrett, he had all rights as a legitimate son in that new family. He was an immediate heir in everything in that family. The Bible says in Romans 8:17, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, we also be glorified together with him. Did you hear what I just said? A son, once adopted, cannot be unadopted. And a son, when he was adopted, he got an heir and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We don't really know what that means, or we'd shout the house down and cry and lay on this altar that we're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. There's a man wrote a book. His name was David Folsom, and I believe it perfectly describes about being an heir, joint heir. He wrote a book about unknown assets or unclaimed assets. You ever heard of unclaimed assets? Things out there that's never been claimed? He estimated that there's over $1 trillion worth of unclaimed property in the United States held in federal and state accounts waiting to be claimed by the rightful owners. He says these assets include stocks and bonds, unclaimed pension funds, insurance benefits, and uncashed dividend checks. $1 trillion that somebody is an heir to out there in this country. He said it's called the high cost of forgetting what you own. Listen to me, I believe as Christians we forgot what we own in Jesus Christ our Lord. Why do we go around mopey around all the time? Why do we go around acting so defeated all the time? When the Bible says we've been made more than conquerors. When we become overcomers. We sing that song in 120 when church started. A victory in Jesus. Brother, we've got the victory, brother. We overcome. Why? Because we've been adopted into the family of God. When Mephibosheth got took into the house of David, brother, he didn't have to worry again about what he was going to get to eat. He was living somewhere there wasn't no food. But now he sat at the king's table and he was fed. He didn't have to worry about protection. He had all the protection that surrounded the king's sons. He had all this stuff around him. Why? Because he was adopted in into the family of God. And I'm telling you right now, the scripture says that we are heirs and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. Well, where's Jesus at? He's sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and me. Amen. We miss that, don't we? We drag into church. Oh, I'm just trying to make it by the skin of my teeth. I'm trying to hang on to get to heaven. I'm not. I'm going to heaven, amen. I'm heir and joint heir, Brother Gavin, of Jesus Christ. But the devil wants to keep us out there in defeat. The devil wants to keep us out there. We don't have access to all these things, brother. God loves us. He's not going to withhold things from us if not to help us. Hey, listen to me. We're an heir and joint heir of Jesus Christ. We've been adopted and permanently placed into the family of God. God loves us tonight, amen.
Amen.
The Bible said, but the king, David, spared Mephibosheth. He was spared him. The other boys died. There's another Mephibosheth here. He died. He wasn't spared. But the king spared Mephibosheth. There was something else real important about this other thing of adoption here. There's a lot of things about adoption. Once you was adopted, you can't be unadopted. Once you adopted, you become an immediate heir. You can't get rolled out of a wheel. Nothing else. You're an immediate heir to everything that your father owns. Here's the third thing. The adopted person, Brother Garrett, they completely lost all rights to their old family. They completely lost all their rights. Mephibosheth went to staying in a poor old place to living in a palace. He went to not knowing if he's going to eat, scared to death, to living in a palace, Ricky sitting at the king's table, living like one of the king's sons, living just as good as one of King David's sons. He lost all his rights to his old family. He was looked upon, the adopted person was looked upon in that culture as a new person. He lost his identity. He got a name change. Are you with me tonight? The Bible says, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened. That means together with him, having forgive you all your trespasses, blotting out now the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. How much writing is against us? And took it out of the way, Ricky, the Bible says, nailing it to the cross. You know what Jesus Christ done when he died on the cross? All your sin. All your sin and my sin that was written against us, he blotted it out on the cross. He took and nailed it to the cross for us. And therefore, the Bible says, if any man what? Be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When Mephibosheth was spared, brother, he got a new family. When Mephibosheth was spared, brother Gavin, he got a new name. When Mephibosheth was spared, listen, he got a new identity. People looked at him different. I bet he didn't dress like he used to dress down there in Lodabar. He didn't have nothing to put on down there. He didn't have nothing to wrap up his old legs with. He probably looked real bad. He's shabby looking. But when he went in the king's palace, he got a whole different identity change. Are you with me tonight? When you get saved by God's grace and God adopts you into his family, brother, we become new creatures in Christ Jesus, a new person in the Lord. And if there ain't no change, brother, it's never been no conversion. I didn't say you can't make mistakes, because we all make mistakes. But brother, there should be a consistent, a commitment change down our heart. And when people see us come, they say, brother, that ain't who you used to be, or she ain't who she used to be. They made a change down your life. Because when you get adopted into the family of God, he makes a new creature in Christ Jesus out of us. Amen. He changes us, don't he?
Yes, he does.
You get all of God that you're going to get.
That's right.
When you get adopted into the family of God. Everything that all David's sons had access to, Gerard, Mephibosheth had access to. You say, well, I want to know God more. You can know God more as much as you want to know God more. You can. You can listen. You say, well, I want to be like this person. Well, then you can be. You get all God you're going to get when you get saved. See, God don't get all of you. That's the problem. But we like us. We like ourselves. Yeah. We don't want to humble down. We get all of God you're going to get, but you've been adopted into the family of God. Just like Mephibosheth was spared and adopted into the house of David. When you got saved, you got adopted into the family of God.
Amen.
Amen. What you want to do with that family, in that fellowship with God, is entirely up to you. But you need to make sure that you've been adopted into the family of God. Some of these boys might have thought they was all right. Huh? Because Jonathan was kin to them, or because Saul was their daddy and they hadn't been dead yet. But it wasn't all right. You better do some checkup sometimes on yourself. Amen. To see if you're in the family of God. Amen. Let's stand tonight if you